Welcome to In His Footsteps, with practical tips for living a joy-filled life and amazing interviews with people who do. Be sure to visit our website, inhisfootsteps.com. I'm Margaret Agard, the award-winning author of the book series, In His Footsteps. Today, we're going to be talking about living with purpose in a worn-out body. Might not apply to you, maybe it applies to someone you know. Our show today is brought to you by the Amazing Bible Timeline. Brings us our weekly Bible question and answer. This week's question is, how did Herod the Great die? Herod was the one who ordered the slaughter of all the children aged 2 and under after the wise men came to visit him and told him about the great king that was born. How did he die? Herod the Great died from chronic kidney disease, probably complicated by gangrene. According to the medical investigative work of Jan Hirschman, staff physician at the VA Puget Sound Healthcare System. Here's a description of the disease. Intense itching, painful intestinal problems, breathlessness, convulsions in every limb, and gangrene. I'm not even going to say that I think he deserves that. Okay. Are you talking with Missy Buchanan today? She wrote the book, Living with Purpose in a Worn Out Body. I saw your book, the first time I saw the title of your book, Living with Purpose in a Worn Out Body, my first thought was, oh, that's for me. And I had a friend with me and she said, oh, that's for me. And then as we read more about it, we realized, oh no, it's for our mothers and fathers. It's for people who are in their 70s or late 70s, 80s, 90s, people who really have worn out bodies, not for people in their 50s and 60s. And what touched me the most is this question that you were confronting, which is, why am I still here? Why am I still here? I just suffer. I'm in pain. I can't do hardly anything. That's not very good English, but so how did you get started on this?
Well, as often happens, God has his hand in things in ways that we just don't expect. And this particular book, the first one, Living with Purpose in a Worn Out Body, came out of the experiences of dealing with my own aging parents. And it was interesting to hear what you were saying about, you know, that it's for the older. It is for those. That's who I wrote it for, and it's written in the first person as if that person who is struggling to find purpose, and usually it's as they've grown frail, is able to connect with God, because I've had so many older adults who are frail who say that they can't pray. And I say, what do you mean you can't pray? And it's what they say is that they can't string their words together, you know. And I said, oh, but God understands. The Holy Spirit intercedes. You know, he hears your prayer. But they find something very reassuring about reading things that are written in their heart language. And it, as I said, it came about out of experiences with my own parents. I would say that I almost made a terrible, terrible mistake with my parents. They had been very active up until the time that they were probably in their early to mid-80s. But as often happens, either it can be a health crisis, and for my parents, it was just decline over time, and that their lives changed, where they had been able to drive back to their church from a retirement community where they lived, which was only about 6 or 7 miles away, so they were still, you know, mostly in the same community. But as they were, as they aged and they became to be unable to drive and to go back and to be in the midst of that community of faith, I had missed that point. I had been so focused on everything physical, you know, on making sure that they had their medications and that I did the grocery store run for them. And, you know, I was a very attentive daughter, but at the same time, I had missed the fact that their spiritual needs were not being met. And sadly, with them and with the people that I see all the time, the church dropped the ball. The church was not there. And one day my mother said it had been 6 months since she had been served communion. Well, that communion was a very important part of my mother's faith life. And that, you know, I just was shocked by that because I had missed it. I had been involved in my own church and whatever, you know, and I had missed the fact that here my parents were in one of the toughest seasons, if not the toughest season of their lives. And they had little spiritual encouragement. And so it was out of that, when I couldn't find materials that I thought addressed the very specific needs of older adults who are growing frail, that's when I began to write. So it's not like I woke up one day and said, I think I'm going to start writing for older adults. It was a natural outgrowth of experience.
Would you read, do you have your book next to you where you can read What Purpose God? Yes. Mm-hmm. Could you read that?
I confess there are days when pain suffocates my passion for living. There are dark nights when fear chokes out hope. Sometimes I wonder why you have left me on this earth. I've outlived so many family and friends. Why do I linger? What purpose could you have for me now? Look at my hands. Once strong and sure, they are unsteady and frail. My mind, once quick and incisive, now falters under the weight of names and faces. What real purpose do I serve, knitting away the hours, surfing the channels, dozing through the afternoon? Then your spirit stirs my heart and convicts my soul. You are not a wasteful cod. The length of my earthly days is a mystery to me, but one thing I know for sure. You have created me with an eternal purpose. How can I be more like Christ today? Whose life can I touch with kindness? Lord, give me an extra measure of grace when I feel that I'm too old to be useful. Help me take my limitations in stride as I search for opportunities to serve you. My purpose is not withered away with another birthday. It is rooted in eternity.
I know that speaks to so many people, Missy, and I just want to point out that I'm speaking today with Missy Buchanan, author of Living with Purpose in a Worn Out Body, which is available, of course, on Amazon. Last year, Missy, we ordered 20 copies of your books, the first two books, and then took them to the women in our faith community. A few men, but it's mostly women who seem to be left. And I know it spoke to them. They all told us that they read it a bit at a time and thought about it, and it really touched their hearts because they do struggle.
Yes, and as the church and as families, as caregivers, you know, we need to pay attention to that. There's a tendency to think that older adults have reached that, you know, long period of that period of life, and that they've had this past experience in the faith community, that they can kind of rest on their spiritual laurels, so to speak. And we forget how much they need encouragement because they are facing tough times and uncertainties. And, you know, I ask people all the time when I lead retreats or speak to older adult groups, I said, what are the things you fear most about aging? And they will say things like, you know, outliving their money, about not wanting to become dependent upon their children, about becoming invisible. You know, they don't want to be that person in the nursing home that's sitting in the wheelchair that no one reaches out and touches or speaks to. And we forget that they have real concerns. And as the church and families and caregivers and just people who love the Lord, we need to be there for them.
One of the things I had an experience where we were visiting an older woman in her 80s, and we just spent so much time taking care of her as part of what we were doing for our church, and it felt like we were giving so much time for her that it was cutting into everything else. And one day I was praying about it, and I said, you know, is this really where you want us to be, God? And the thought came to me that this was a woman who had served diligently in the church through her 30s and 40s and 50s and even 60s. And now she was older. The people who remembered her, most of them were gone or had moved. She was just a name on a list of people who don't come to church anymore.
Exactly.
And that God put in my heart, this is one of my most beloved daughters. It pleases me that you are out here with her, helping her.
And that is so true. And the thing is, when you bless her by being there with her, listening to her stories, touching her, you know, when you think that, how many older adults who've grown frail, that no one even touches them and they miss that warmth, you know, and that embrace. As you bless them, you at the same time are being blessed, I have no doubt. You know, I have a 98-year-old friend who recently, we were having a conversation about wisdom, and she said, "Missy, you know how you're all the time saying that, you know, if we walk with God and as we grow older, then we should be becoming wiser." And she said, "I'm just curious, why doesn't anyone ever ask me for my wisdom?" And my heart just sank, you know, it's like, she's so right. How many times have we asked an older adult to share wisdom about a situation or what life lessons that they've learned? You know, we live in a society that just honors youth. I mean, bottom line, we know our culture tells us that young is better. And unless you are blessed with the genes of a Betty White, or something like that, then in the media, you know, we see older adults as just being bumbling buffoons or grumpy curmudgeons or what, you know, and the image is just so negative. And so if we as the church don't step in and say, wait a minute, you know, we're going to stand up, we're going to be cross-culture here, you know, because biblically we know we are called to honor our elders. And we do that by giving time, by listening into their stories and encouraging them, asking for their wisdom. So I applaud your efforts in with this woman. I know you're blessed by that.
One of the things we had the privilege of doing was living for a year and a half in a community that actually lives the idea of honoring your elders. We lived up in Kotzebue, Alaska. And I will tell you, we could walk down the street. My husband has gray hair. I dye mine, so I don't. And people would come up to him and say, you know, people all different ages, and say, "Oh, gray hair. Gray hair means wisdom." And I was speaking to the mayor of the town, and I was suggesting some things that she could do to help with their native history. And she said, "Those are good ideas, and what I'm going to do is at our next meeting with the elders, I'm going to run it by them and see what they think." And that's how they made decisions in that town. This was not lip service. This was not just say it. This was, these people have lived many more years than we have. They've seen a lot of things come and go. We're going to go ask them what they think before we make any major decisions in this town. And one of the ways they taught that, besides having the government go meet with the older people, was at the community dinners. At the community dinners, people with gray hair were expected to get into line first, and the children waited in the back.
Nice. You know, and that's teaching the children also about respect and dignity for our elders. As you were talking, it made me think about, you know, how out of step that people in our culture here can feel, older adults, you know, who are growing, they may not even be frail. I mean, it could be, you know, a 65-year-old or whatever, but they're feeling so pressured by the rest of the world, and they feel like dummies. And not long ago, I was asking a group of older adults, I said, you know, tell me about a time when you felt out of step or behind the times, you know. And several gave their answers, and then this precious man at the back raised his hand, and he said he had gone to one of the big box stores and saw a clerk, and he asked the young clerk, "Could you show me or tell me where the typewriter paper is?"
Ooh.
Well, this young clerk just burst out laughing. And it had happened about a year before, and even in telling the story, you could tell how much it had upset him. And I thought, what a sad thing. And like I said, he was probably in his late 60s. And I thought, you know what? A culture we live in. If we, the church, don't stand up to this, you know, who will? Who will?
Exactly. And you do workshops with Is it with pastors or ministers or just?
I do all kinds of things, according to whatever an individual group wants. But sometimes, most of the time, it's with older adults themselves who are still active. And in fact, Dr. Richard Ginsberg has a wonderful way of describing the three categories, kind of older adults, because they are not alike, and we forget that too. They're the go-go's who are still very active and they can get on the bus and go for a week and see the leaves change and all that, the go-go's. Then there are the slow-go's for whom life has changed and they don't want to be away from home as much. Now, they might be willing to go for a night or two, but then they want back in their routine. And then there are the no-go's, those whose lives have come down pretty much to a single room or an apartment or, in some cases, in a nursing home, a half a room,
Yes.
And so under that umbrella of older adults, there really are very distinctive groups. And we, as the church, we need to be very aware of that, because you cannot minister to that active go-go person the same way that you're going to minister to a no-go. So I think that's real important that we kind of keep that in mind as well.
The people who seem to be left out the most, though, are the no-go's. Mm-hmm. So what do you say to the spiritual community, the church community, about how to take care of those people?
Well, first of all, I think for a lot of churches, it's unintentional. It's an out-of-sight, out-of-mind situation, and I'm not trying to let them off the hook. But, Mrs. Jones, who always sat in this general area or whatever, you knew that she was there every Sunday, and then over a period of time, maybe she fell, maybe, something happened, she had some kind of health issue, and so you would see her maybe every other week, and then soon it would be once every 6 weeks, and then soon before you know it, you're not seeing her there at all. So if churches don't have a way of tracking their older adults, that's the first issue for me, is that they need to know where the older adults, particularly those who have grown frail, they need to know where they are. And that can change in a heartbeat. If Mrs. Jones falls and she's in rehab for 6 weeks and then they move her to skilled nursing or whatever, we've got to have a way to know where these individuals are. So to me, it makes sense that we have good relationships with family members, encourage family members to keep up with them, to let the church know. If there's a change in your mother's life, please let us know. The second thing is that churches are notorious for being inconsistent. They make a lot of promises saying, oh, we're going to come see you, and then and they may come, like right now at Christmas time and whatever, you'll have a lot of churches that'll be there and they'll bring the poinsettia and they may sing Christmas carol, and then you may not see them for another year. Or you may not see them until Easter.
Well, that's one of the things I do know is true, that organizations that rely on volunteer labor say we get a lot of help at the holidays, and then nothing.
Yes.
And one of the best things that you can do, this is the time of year for yearly calendars to be out, right? To actually put on that calendar, I'm going to visit once a month or however often, and wham, stick it on the calendar. So you
The more that churches can involve lay ministry teams, the more successful they will be. And that is not to say that ministers should not visit, because they should. There are a lot of older adults who, and quite honestly, they're thinking, who's going to bury me? If there's a new minister that's come or something's happened, they want to know, will this person know me? I want to know the person that's going to bury me. And that's just a fact of life, and the ministers need to, for their own good, they need to be involved in ministry to those who are growing frail. However, I also think that it's important to have lay ministry teams that are consistent and that, that will be there, that form, it's about relationship, it's about relationship and hopefully intergenerational relationships, so that families, a church family would sign up to go see Mrs. Jones every other week or something like that, so that the whole family goes and that whether this is someone that Mrs. Jones has known all her life or it may be a new family in the church. You know, there's that connection. And then the church also needs to think about ways that they can keep the older adults who've grown frail connected to the church. And, you know, how many churches have Advent devotional books or something like that, you know, that they could ask an older adult to write a devotion for that booklet or, you know, anything to...
What a good idea.
...cards or, you know, something that reminds that older adult, and I always say this too, that the lay ministry teams or the minister, whoever's visiting that older adult, hopefully it's as often as at least every other week. But they take the prayer list from their church, and they say, Mrs. Jones, we would love for you to pray, you know, for these names, these people. And if that person doesn't feel like they're capable of praying, then pray with them, you know. But remind them that being a prayer warrior for the members of the church is a wonderful thing. So the more that we can connect them to ministry and what they can do for others. And that's another thing, too, is that churches tend to forget that older adults may not be able to do ministry as they once did, but the church needs to be there to remind them that they can rethink ministry. They can do it in a different way. And I mean by that, there's a 96-year-old woman from our church who was on hospice care and in assisted living, and as we would take the DVD of the church service each week, we discovered that, you know, she had begun to invite her neighbors. Well, pretty soon, you know, she had her own little ministry right there in her room. She'd say, okay, on Tuesday afternoon at 3 o'clock, I'm going to show them the DVD. You know, well, it had to be the church stepping in to bring the DVD and to show her how to use her DVD player and help her get that all worked out. And then, but then she took the next step, began to invite, you know, neighbors, and she was telling us one time, she said, you know, there's some of these people that they don't know Jesus.
Oh.
And I thought, here she is at 96, still evangelizing. You know, it was just a beautiful, beautiful picture of someone who had done ministry all of her life and was part of it. But it had to be reshaped as she grew older to find ways that she still could serve. And so I thought that was a beautiful example.
It is a beautiful example. We have the gift this year of gathering up cassette tapes. One my cousin had done when she was a teenager with my aunt, with my grandmother, just before she died in the 1970s. And to hear her voice again and to hear her answering the questions about what it was like growing up on Grandpa's farm is just wonderful. And to know that our children can hear their great-great-great-grandmother tell these stories.
Right,
it's
sure.
So easy what? Today with laptops, with
yeah.
built-in microphones. You can just do it. And I would encourage that, for this is the best time of year. This is the time of year, if you have people who are still alive or people who are gathering in your home, your aunts, your uncles, to just turn that recorder on and let them talk.
Yeah, absolutely. And most of the time, they are going to be so pleased that you asked. You know, sometimes they may need a little start, you know, a little something to get them started to tell a story. So you know, Mom, tell me something funny that happened, blah, 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 blah. You know, I mean, you may have to give them a little prompt. But once they start, the stories just flow. They just flow. And what a gift. I know that Lucy Marianne had just recently, she made a recording of old hymns and spirituals that she wanted her grandchildren and her great-grandchildren to know, because she was afraid that they weren't learning them. And she said, these are the songs, these are the words that got me through tough times. And I got to hear that CD, and it's just, I mean, she made it for her family, but to hear her voice and to hear her playing the piano, and sharing with them, I thought, oh, I hope that these children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, you know, I hope they will treasure this. Because
they won't,
what
they probably won't until they're 50, but then they will.
Maybe they will one day, you know, and it's just a lovely thing anyway, so.
Missy, that we're out of town. I'm going to have to cut a little bit out of this, but I appreciate your taking the time to share the knowledge and wisdom you've gained from spending time with our wise elders. Do you have anything else you want to say?
I would just encourage your listeners to think about every time they drive by an assisted living center or a retirement community or a nursing home, to think about the people that are inside and to pray for them. You know, and then hopefully that they would overcome that fear of going inside about the smells or the whatever it is that they're worried about, and just remember that the child of God that's sitting in there, and they need us. So that would be my encouragement.
Okay. Visit. Thanks, Missy.
That's exactly it. Visit.
Yes. Okay. All right. Visit. Well, now I'm going to share with you some results of visits that Bill and I had when we went to visit people while we were serving as missionaries in an inner-city church. The mission president had said I could go out visiting elderly people in this church where we were, and I had just received a list a couple of weeks before. So let's go with this story. It's called Comparing Sister Grace with Sister Complainer. I finally had the time to start calling for appointments last week. Oh my. The first call took 30 minutes. I said, "Hi, I'm Sister Agard," and that's all I got to say. I then listened to a 20-minute harangue on how terrible the church was, how the members abused this woman, no one ever helped her, no one cared about her, everyone looked down on her. One complainant after another. By the time she finished, she was literally screaming and cursing, and I could hear the tears of anger and frustration in her voice as she said, "I'd rather you just didn't come by," just before she hung up without saying goodbye. Wow, if I upset her that much just by calling and telling her my name, imagine what seeing me might do. But all I could feel on a deep level was the Spirit saying, "This woman is in a great deal of pain, and Christ heals pain like that. You've been blessed with His Spirit as part of your calling." But I wondered how I could go to see her if she was going to be that upset when I showed up. Well, I got ready to call the next person on my list with just a little bit of fear in my heart, and then I felt a deep sense of joy. I have a shining light to visit, Sister Grace. Sister Grace is 95 and lives in an assisted living center. When we first saw her, she had a neat apartment filled with good furniture, and the window overlooked a lovely courtyard. She was tethered to an oxygen tank, so she couldn't get around much, but still kept busy. I'd heard she'd been moved to the full-time nursing side of the center. We went to see her. Sister Grace was in a narrow bed by a window with one tree outside of it. Her entire home is now half of a hospital room. "I never in my life thought I'd end up like this," she said matter-of-factly. "I'm in so much pain, I'm on sedation, and I sleep most of the time, and I can hardly move at all. But when I can keep awake, I like to keep busy. I wonder why God keeps me here when I can hardly do anything." I asked the Bishop, if it was wrong to pray to die, and he said, "As long as you remember to say, if it be thy will." I say that, and then I lay here at night, thanking him for all the things I have to be grateful for. I have so much to be grateful for. Yes, that's what she said to us, as she lay in her narrow bed, with oxygen lines taped to her face, hardly able to move because of the pain. "I have so much to be grateful for." And then she smiled at us. You can get more information on our guests and our discussion today, including replays of this show, at inhisfootsteps.com. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Margaret Agard. You can reach me at P.O. Box 173, Duck, West Virginia 25063, or through my website, inhisfootsteps.com. I'm looking forward to hearing from you. Be sure to join us next week for more practical tips on living a God-directed life and amazing interviews with people who do.